Welcome to the Lafcate Podcast. Lafcate is a seasoned teacher of the Word of God, an author and pastor of Vision Impact Church, a thriving church in Ghana. And now, today's message. This is the continuation of the previous episode.
Be dedicated at service to God. Joseph did that. Then, out of that hatred, they wanted to kill him. They changed their minds and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then the Ishmaelites also sold him to Potiphar, who was in charge of the prison of the nation. He was the captain of the guard. He was the captain of the king's prisoners and all that. They sold him to Potiphar. But something about dedicated service. When you do dedicated service, you will always be blessed. A lady in our church told me how she will be holding a mop and cleaning the front of the church at dawn and having conversations with the Holy Spirit and the blessings that came to her. So many blessings. Nobody serves God and does not attract the blessing of God. We are not bribing God when we are serving Him. We are just serving Him because we love Him. But God is our Father and He cares for the son, the daughter, who also cares for his affairs. And so Joseph continued to serve God in Potiphar's house. And the Bible records to us that as he served, he experienced the blessing of God in Potiphar's house. And everything he did in Potiphar's house, Potiphar was also blessed. And Potiphar took note of it that he was blessed because of Joseph. And so he put him in charge of everything. So Joseph continuously served in Potiphar's house until Potiphar's wife, which I'll look at again later, so I'm not going to go into that. But until Potiphar's wife caused his arrest and put in prison. Even in prison, he served. And it was that service that one day will open the door for him to become the next in command. Do dedicated service, not only in church, but as a Christian, wherever you find yourself, in your business, in your corporate organization, wherever, if you are the sweeper in the bank, see it as an altar to the Lord. So you don't do things half-heartedly. You don't serve your boss anyhow because you are thinking you are serving just to be given a pay. No, but you are thinking this is an opportunity to work as unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 talks about that. Everything you do must be as unto the Lord. Have God in view, your service, whether you are the watchman, the security man, you are the cleaner somewhere, you are the head of corporate affairs, you are the philanthropist, you are the lawyer, the doctor, a medical doctor. If you have it in mind that the person sitting before me is made in God's image, no, you are not thinking of how to make your clinic prosper, but you are thinking of how to help another human being made in God's image. So, dedicate yourself to serve God. Serve Him outside. The whole world see it as a church. My daddy told me that I had just come back abroad. I knew God's hand is on me to do what I'm doing today. And maybe I was thinking somebody must accept me. My daddy told me no. The world is your platform. It's your pulpit. Are you waiting? He will ask me, are you waiting for someone to give you opportunity? You know, women are not accepted as preachers. But God accepts you. He said, anywhere you stand, preach. Anywhere you stand, tell your story. So wherever you are hearing my voice today. All of us are called royal priesthood. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a priest. You become a tool in God's hand to serve Him. Now, I want to continue. Luke chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, serving as a priest before God. That's what I'm challenging you to do. Serve as a priest before God wherever you are. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear, reverential fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John." The manifestation of a son called John happened speedily as a result of Zechariah's service. Assuming that he said, "I'm tired of serving. I'm tired of being a priest. I've been doing this priesthood thing for many years, and we are still barren." Assuming he says so. No. But Zechariah, even though he seemed not to be getting answers to prayer, he was still serving the Lord. Be dedicated at the service you do for God. Be dedicated. What is that service? Is it giving in church? Is it building churches? Is it giving to help build the church? What is that service you are doing? Is it cleaning the church? Be dedicated. Don't do it halfway. Number five, and I don't know, as God was speaking this message to me, number five began to really touch my life. Live life weightless. Weightless. Live life weightless. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting the whole of your care," I'm reading from the Amplified Version, "casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." That is really beautiful. The weight on your heart, the weight on your mind. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 from verse 20, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, cast all your cares on me, your anxieties, your worries, your fears of tomorrow." What is that weight? I don't know what it is, but it's a weight on you. God said, "I know how feeble you are. I know you cannot carry it, but I am able. I created the whole world, and carrying the world, I am strong, I am God, I am able, I am powerful. Give me your weight, give me your worries, give me your worries, give me your anxieties. Tell me your story. I will not say it's so shameful." No. You fear what society will say about you? And you are concerned, and you are harboring it in, and it's weighing you down, it's killing you. I'll give you life. Give it to me. Live life weightless. Don't we all want to worry to prove that we are humans and we are living? God wants you to live above the plane of humanity. Give me your weight. I'll give you my divinity. I'll help you to navigate this life on top. You will live above, on top. You see, you are the head. You are not the bottom. When you say you are at the bottom, everything will crush you. Worry keeps you at the bottom, and you will be crushed. But giving it to God frees you to fly, to soar up with wings like the eagle. For you cannot be fast carrying weight. No. Don't you wonder, have you ever wondered why you say that athletes, you don't see any of them wearing three-piece suits. You don't see any of them wearing high heels. No. Because as much as possible, and that is the only time we watch them run and we don't frown, that why are they wearing these little skimpy things on their body? We go past what they are wearing on their body because we want the end result, that they are speeding, they are flying, they are winning. God wants you to win. This is what he will say to you in Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 1. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, There are many people cheering you on. I don't know who these witnesses are, but in context of the word of God, I believe that those who have gone on ahead of us, as in Hebrews chapter 11, all those who live this life of faith by the word of God, and they lived it successfully, it didn't matter what was coming against them. Some were killed, but they stood for their faith, and now they are cheering you on. They are saying, live the way to God. Live the way to God. Fly, sister. Fly, brother. Live this life without the weight, so that you can also enter in eternity, where it all matters for your crown. He says, there's such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. You see, carrying weight is sin. It's telling God, well, since I trusted you and you couldn't help me, I'm trying to help myself. Worry and anxiety and fear is saying God is not God. My uncle may help me. My friend has more capacity to help me than God. And so let me worry about how I can tell them my story and worry about what kind of gymnastics I will do for them to be able to understand my story and help me. God says, no. Throw away everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles, worry entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us run to win. That's what the word of God is saying. Run to win without weight. Number six, you assess supernatural speed, which will destroy delay. You assess supernatural speed by pursuing purity. That's number six. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Bottom line, pursue purity. Have this pure heart that doesn't want to sin against God. And if we should sin, if you should sin, if I should sin, God has made a way for us. He says if we confess that sin, he will forgive that sin. Then Paul asks again in Romans that, so should we continue sinning just because grace abounds? No. So our determination must be that I am running to be like Christ. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. I am running. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, Holy Spirit, you want to be holy like Christ. And he knows, he understands. So he says, if you should fail, still your determination must be that I am running after purity. He said, run from sinfulness. Flee the evil desires of youth. Flee from one thing, but run towards another thing. Flee from sin, run away from sin, and run towards purity. That is all that the word of God is saying. That brings me again to Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, from verse 7, the Bible says, before verse 7, the Bible describes Joseph as a handsome man. In today's world, a handsome man, to a large extent, is a ticket to sin. I'm sad when I hear people talk nothing. I'm a Christian, but what I don't like about the Bible is, I don't like the fact that you have to marry one woman, or you have to marry before you have an affair. No, I don't like that one. That is the only one I don't like in the Bible. I heard a man say this, really, sitting on television and saying this. I don't like that one. And I think that the Bible needs to be reviewed. Unbelievable. He said the Bible needs to be reviewed. And that he's a Christian. He likes everything in the Bible. But this singular one, that don't sleep with too many, have sex with so many women, or you have to marry before you have sex, that one needs to be reviewed. That is a corrupted mind. And this was a physically handsome man. So Joseph I would say if he was in our generation today, he would sit on the television and say no. Because his master's wife saw his handsomeness, his muscles, his height, and the Bible says, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. What a beautiful ticket. Free. Come to bed with me. But this is Joseph's reaction. He refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you. Look at the reason. Because you are his wife. You are his wife. His wife. Why is his wife wanting to sleep with another man? Why are you wanting to sleep with another man's wife? Why? The Bible says you will be burnt. That is a judgmental fire that is coming on somebody who is hearing me today. I didn't say it. You want to sleep with another man's wife? You want to sleep with somebody's husband? It's not yours. It's a covenanted relationship. And the day they married each other, God was there. And in their marriage, God is there. Why do you want to interfere with something that God is part of and he's keenly watching over? The battle now will be between you and God. Even if that spouse says nothing when you went sleeping with their spouse. Joseph said, I can't do this. You are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing? It's a wicked thing for you to go sleeping with somebody's spouse. It's wicked. And he says, do this wicked thing and sin against God. You see, I told you already. Because directly it's against God. Stop it. God is saying stop it. And God is speaking to someone right now. I'm not calling myself better than you, but God is saying, come, stop, my son, my daughter, you are doing it, but stop, I'll forgive you. Stop now, not tomorrow, right now. Holy Spirit is saying, stop, I'll help you. When you were going in, he was calling, you didn't mind him, but he's calling you again, say, you've done it, but run. Flee from that lust and pursue purity. The Bible says, though Mrs. Potiphar spoke to Joseph day and night, what a temptation. Joseph was living right there, and the woman, any opportunity, kept taunting him, haunting him. I mean, it's serious. But the Bible said he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. That is why flee youthful lust, flee lust. And one day, he went into the house to attend to his duties. That is Joseph. And none of the household servants was inside. Potiphar's wife caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. That's an exclamation sign. The woman was so frantic. What kind of evil is that? How can you be pursuing one man, a married woman, all this while? With vim, vehemently, not relenting. That is Satan's instigation to destroy the righteousness, the purity of Joseph. That is only Satan using this person. Come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. See, that is how you flee last. That is how you flee the sin, the temptation. Don't say I was tempted and I couldn't withstand it. No, you can't, because you have God in you. And I'll leave it there. It means that Joseph was pursuing purity. You and I must pursue purity. And then we'll have supernatural speed into our purpose. Lastly, I want to talk about engaging in soul winning. We assess supernatural speed by engaging in soul winning. as I'm speaking to you as a church, somebody won you to Christ. You must also tell somebody, go into the world and preach the gospel, says the word of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, before verse 35, there was the Ethiopian eunuch coming from the queen's palace in Ethiopia. But he was seeking for God, so he went to Jerusalem to go and worship God. And he was going back and he was holding the Bible in his hand. The Bible as they had it then, he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. So from verse 35, then Philip, before verse 35, Philip went to his chariot and heard him reading from Isaiah 35. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? And the man said, how can I understand unless somebody teaches me? That is the essence of teachers, of pastors, of preachers. All the fivefold ministry in the Bible, that is the essence of it. The man said, somebody must have to teach me. I'm teaching you today. And God is using my voice and his word to speak to your heart. If you want to speak, the Bible says Philip began with the same scripture the man was reading and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Go and tell somebody the good news about Jesus Christ. I am telling you, this is good news. Good news is that Jesus Christ came, he lived, he was crucified, he died, he was buried. On the third day he resurrected, he was seen by over 500 people. He was seen that he was the living Christ. He did not remain in the grave. That is why David called him Lord. Before, prophetically, David, which the people said, Jesus is his son, he said, no, I'm not the son of David. I'm his Lord. David died and he is buried and he is decayed. But Jesus, he was killed, he was buried, he resurrected. Many people saw him. He ascended. They saw him go. He's staying in heaven right now. He's interceding for the soul of your family member, of your neighbor, of your brother. But he has sent you as a physical human being. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. That is why God came in flesh, so that he can communicate with flesh and tell them about the love of God. Jesus is in heaven and he sent you to go and preach. And that is what Philip was doing. He preached the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says he baptized him. As verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Suddenly, somebody who is a preacher of the gospel, somebody who hearkens to the word of God, to the word of instruction, to go and preach the gospel, to go and win souls. The Bible says, those who win souls shall be wise. You will be wise. You are considered wise in heaven because you are a soul winner. And when you win souls, everything will speed up in your life. God will speed up your life. He will progress your life. Yes. Yes. The Bible says, Philip appeared in Azotus. Some of you are wanting to go to America, but you are neglecting the basics of your Christianity. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. But you want to be in America? Yes, you can go to America without preaching, but you are by yourself in America, in Britain, in Japan, wherever you consider green pastures of the world. Oh, many are going, and I've seen many miserable. But when we walk with the Lord, when you walk with the Lord, and you do the bidding of the Lord, God will do your bidding, because you have the determination to obey him. I hear stories of many people. My husband is such, minding God's business, when the friends are all doing their own thing. He was doing God's thing. The friends went to church. They went to church. But he was determined to obey, to serve. And he was serving God. Where didn't he go? Go here and preach, he was going. Go there and preach, he was going. And he has his own stories to tell. He will be about God's business. And God was always about his business. Things that he needed. While he's preaching, God was opening doors for him. And that is what God wants to do for you, as he did for Philip. Philip needed to be in Azotus. I didn't know how long he had to walk. I didn't search into that yet. But the Spirit carried him. The Spirit carried him. God wants to speed up your life. As I conclude this message today, it is my prayer that you shall receive supernatural speed in your life today. This week, you will receive supernatural speed practically concerning everything you do in your life, your goals, your aspirations, your desires, wherever you are going. You will realize this week, I pray that you do things effortlessly, because you are doing them God's way that will cause you to have supernatural speed. Every delay in your life is terminated today. Receive speed in the name of Jesus Christ. And maybe you are listening to me, you don't know Jesus as your Lord. It starts from the first place. You see, that is why I ended. I must preach good news to you, and you heard me preaching it. Christ died for you, so you will live. It's simple. I don't need to coerce you. I don't need to beg you. Give your life to Jesus right now. And if you are ready, by faith, you will say this prayer with me, and your name will be written in heaven. When you are no more on earth in this flesh, your spirit man will appear before God. So say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Save me and be my Lord for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every week. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.